Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we've seen every team now at the World Cup, and maybe we saved the best until last. Brilliant Brazil, and a host of interesting games, including Portugal winning, Switzerland edging it, and Uruguay and South Korea drawing another blank. We ask Premier League legend Michael Bridges and former Denmark international Thomas Sorensen, where have the goals gone? And all the burning questions on today's show. I'm your host, Teo Pelizzeri. Let's get into the Optus Sport Football Podcast. This is the Gegenpod. What a day of football we had. What a morning of football if you were getting up for it. Some of the biggest highlights of the tournament, but also some burning talking points that continue to intrigue our panel. And today that panel are a couple of former Premier League legends, Denmark World Cup player Thomas Sorensen, and of course, Optus favourite Michael Bridges. Tommy, great to have you back on the Gegenpod. What a morning we had.
Oh, fantastic. To be fair, mixed bag. There was a bit of a slow burner with the Uruguay-South Korea game, but then it finished off with, one of my favorites, I think most people's favorites, Brazil. How fantastic was it to see their pace and, you know, just the quality of players on the park. And so I think this match day had, or at least this day had so much, excitement with the Portugal. And the finish with the goalkeeper dropping the ball and nearly screwing everything up for them. So I think these games had everything, really.
So let's get into a summary now that we've seen every team once. We'll start with Mark Schwarzer, actually, over in Qatar. Which team has been the biggest surprise so far, Schwartzy?
Yeah, now that we've seen every team perform so far at this World Cup, the standout performance has to be, for me, Saudi Arabia's. As they beat Argentina, one of the big favourites going into this World Cup. And other than the first half an hour, where Argentina obviously could have run away with the game and they dominated, but they didn't take the chances in the end. And Saudi Arabia got stronger. They grew in the game and they took their chances incredibly well. Al-Dosari's winning goal for Saudi Arabia was sublime against any opponent, let alone being against Argentina. And I think it's got to go down as one of the greatest shocks, biggest shocks in World Cup history.
Well, of course he was going to pick the Saudis. Michael Bridges, what's been the biggest surprise for you?
Well, I was absolutely delighted that Germany got beat, not only because of the history that they have over England and penalty shootouts and making me cry as a kid, but also because we heard Schwarzy there. He'll be making excuses all day long. And it was absolutely delighted. The one for me, I've got to say, the game today, it didn't surprise us, but it surprised us with Richarlison, because he had, before this game, 6 goals in 6 matches. And after this game, he had 8 goals in 7 matches, or 9 and 7, whatever it was. I was just saying beforehand, sitting with my wife, watching the game, get him off. He hasn't touched the ball at all. They need to make a change, because I thought Vinicius Jr. were absolutely brilliant on one side. Neymar was dancing on the other side, pulling strings. Richarlison didn't touch the ball. 30 seconds later, what does he do? He's clinical. He gets the goal. And then 5 minutes later, scores the goal of the World Cup so far. So what the hell do I know? So that was the biggest surprise, because normally I'm spot on, Teo. I got it wrong.
Bridgie, I think you should go on the Optus Sport app and look at the expert tips and look at my top goal scorer for the tournament, and you'll get an answer.
I did see that and I didn't want to mention it. Well done, you.
Oh, hey, he's not there yet, but he's off to a good start.
Yeah, very good start.
Well, Tommy, what about your biggest surprise so far?
You know, I think, again, obviously, Schwarzy touched on Saudi Arabia. I thought Tunisia was fantastic. You can see those nations, just feeding off the crowd. They've got obviously a huge support there. And this is what's so great about the World Cup. You know, some teams disappoint. We obviously saw Qatar in the opening game. There were so much expectations and they fell flat. And then other teams like Japan as well, who sort of come from behind and surprises everyone. And this is, this is a fantastic thing about this. there's, you know, there's nothing is written beforehand, and these teams just, you know, who dares wins. And I think, Saudi Arabia especially, they played with a gun to their head in the first half with a high line, but again, they rode their luck and you know, deserved it. So great to see.
Do you know what I've enjoyed watching and seeing the teams? There's been a lot more teams have come out and actually had a go when they know, instead of just sitting back and absorbing pressure. Costa Rica sat back and absorbed pressure. They got absolutely tonked. Iran sat back against England. They got tonked. And it was, you know, it was today when I'm watching Serbia, it should have been a lot more. They didn't have a shot on target. They're just absorbing pressure. I've really been excited by the other teams that have gone. Do you know what it is? Canada have had a go. They had a real good go. Japan came back and had a go. Saudi Arabia threw caution to the wind and went for it. They pressed well. They counterattacked. They threw numbers forward. And that is what has impressed me so much. And I've been surprised, actually, at some of the tactics from the games.
Well, let's now turn from the surprises to the contending teams. And you all had some pre-tournament picks that you put in. We'll start with Mark Schwarzer. Schwarzy, are you sticking with Germany?
Yeah, it probably wasn't the wisest choices of mine to go with Germany. However, you know what? I'm going to stick with them. Yes, they were shocked. They were pretty poor the way they fell away, I have to say. There was a pivotal moment in the game when Gundogan missed a chance. You'd expect him to score, edge of the box, hits the outside of the post and goes out for a goal kick. And that would have made it 2-0 with probably about 15 minutes to play. And I think Germany would have run away with the game comfortably. Except this Japan side showed their determination, their grit. They showed it in the qualifying, where they had a really bad start to the final qualifying stages, but they managed to dig deep, claw their way back into the group to finish second behind Saudi Arabia. And their performance on the day, the heart, the determination they showed, I thought was outstanding. And for me, Germany have a lot to do, a lot to do. They've got Spain up next, which is going to be absolutely crucial for them. They lose that game, they're out of the World Cup. So much riding on it. I'm still going to say, I'm probably thinking more in my heart than anything else that Germany still have a chance. But realistically, look, England, Brazil have certainly been fantastic performances, had, you know, really good performances so far at this World Cup. I mentioned earlier on in the podcast that I also think Saudi Arabia's performance has got to be one of the biggest shocks of the tournament so far. And let's not forget Spain, absolutely tearing, let's admit, a very poor Costa Rica side apart, but you still got to do it. You still got to be good on your game. And Spain certainly were absolutely on fire and deserved to win that game. So a lot to play for still, but obviously my tip looks very much like a complete rank outsider at this stage. But let's wait and see.
Of course he was going to keep the faith, at least to some degree. He hasn't been totally, totally rattled yet.
He's going down with the ship, Theo. He's going
well,
down with the ship.
I think the two of you would be feeling very comfortably satisfied with your picks of Brazil so far. But my question is, of the 32 teams we've seen so far, have Brazil put together the most impressive showing? And I say that because, yes, Spain scored 7 and looked unbeatable, but it was against Costa Rica. Spain have done this to Brazil have done this to a Serbia team that beat Portugal to top their qualifying group and came into this tournament in great form. Bridgie, is it as simple as Brazil have been the best team we've seen so far?
Yes, definitely. I mean, listen, England had a great result. I was delighted, but you know, I think it was expected they would win that game, but they did it in a lovely professional fashion. I also saw them in comparison with Brazil when they made the changes up front, and we had the luxury of bringing on Rashford, who scored, Grealish, who scored, Foden, and Callum Wilson. You saw the whole front four line was changed. That was great for England. But watching Brazil and how comfortable they were at the back, they didn't get threatened at all. They controlled the whole game. The dynamics in the interchange of play, they just started. Once they got in their groove, it was just a pleasure to watch. And I've got to say, I picked them for a reason. That they, on paper, they look fantastic when they can get it together. They've got that rotation system. And you saw that. The players they brought on, you know what I mean? Martinelli came on. You're taking off Vinicius Jr. And Jesus is coming on up front. It's just absolutely magnificent. And they're a joy to watch. That's what World Cups are for. I remember being a kid watching Brazil with the tricks and the flicks. And we got that. And Neymar, as much as I hate seeing him roll around, they're just a joy to watch.
And I think the surprise. The thing that I was looking out for was, you know, we all know about the individual quality, but, you know, what would they do as a team? And I was really impressed with the energy, the discipline, the desire to close down, to chase back, to tackle, to win the ball. So I thought it was a complete performance, you know, defensively and attacking. And they just wore Serbia down. You know, Serbia were disciplined, tried to hold on. They did it for so long, but eventually, the dam burst, and it could have been a lot more after that.
I mean, I love the pictures, the close-ups of the Serbian defenders that had been, you know, sweating their life away, and a back five making last-ditch tackles and looking so, so solid. And then when they went 1-0 down, they've gone to a back four, and you see the interchanges coming. And they actually looked at each other much, yeah. Say, what the hell do we do now with these players that are coming on? It was frightening.
Some of the numbers make pretty amazing reading for Brazil. 59% possession, 2.34 XG to 0.2, 22 shots to 5, and for good measure, 500 passes at 87% completion. So does Serbia come out of this thinking, wow, we're not so good? Or is this just a Brazil team that's operating on a different plane to what we've seen from the other contenders so far?
You know, I think Serbia will come out of this game, you know, probably expecting a tough time, and they had a tough time. But they'll be looking to the coming games, obviously against Switzerland and Cameroon, and you know, be fairly confident they could get a result in that. I think they've got a really good team. I think Tadic, I think he's 34 years old, but look, as young as ever. And Mitrovic, obviously, Minkovic Savage, you know, they're solid and they have the quality up front. So, you know, again, you want to get a result in your first game, but I think they probably expected this and will be looking, yeah, you know, to play Cameroon and get something from that.
I think we'll see a different approach in their next couple of games. They showed Brazil so much respect. They were just wanting to get a result and a draw out of that game. I don't think they had any intent of trying to win it. And it was a case of, can we sneak a goal? We'll try and defend for our lives. The next few matches, they've got to go out with a bit more of a pragmatic approach. And I think you saw that with Mitrovic coming off, protecting him towards the end. He wasn't getting any joy. What's the point in running his legs in? Let's get back to doing. Because like you say, you know, they've had some fantastic results. I think they've got a great set of players. They were talking about the golden generation. We've heard that so many times. But I think that, you know, that with them, that was, I really fancy them to get something from the Switzerland and Cameroon game. I think they'll bounce back.
Like tonight's performance, I think Richarlison's finishing, two goals. Second one was a sublime bit of play. Got a little bit fortunate the way ball popped up, but doesn't matter. I mean, acrobatic, absolutely class, and wonderful finishes.
And Bridgie, do you think Brazil will rotate for their other group games? Because Bruno Guimarães, unused sub. Fabinho, unused sub. Eder Militão, unused sub. Anthony gets a 10-minute cameo. Gabriel Martinelli gets a 3-minute little sub off the bench. Even Fred only got 15 minutes. I mean, the depth in this Brazil squad is crazy. Are they already in a position where they can manage their team to make sure that all their key players don't get overloaded in this very brisk group stage?
I think they'll be waiting for the next result. I think they will have the luxury, if they get the next result, 6 points, you're almost guaranteed to get through. And then the rotation will come in. But we saw, I mean, Danilo looked like I don't know whether he pulled his calf or the cramp had kicked in, but he couldn't move towards the end. They'd already made 5 subs, so I'd imagine he'll be rested and hopefully still available for the rest of the tournament. But that, like you say, the luxury, knowing the players that they have at their disposal, it is absolutely scary, because everybody that came on, Martinelli is having an unbelievable season with Arsenal. Jesus is having a great season with Arsenal. They're just all at the peak of their games at this moment in time, and I just think the World Cup coming, when they're all playing such good football, has come at the perfect time for them. So it's scary to think what they can do.
But there was a twist, and Neymar has an ankle injury. It wouldn't be Brazil without Neymar being the centre of attention and a bit of drama. Some pretty astounding photos of the swelling. However, Tite, the manager, says, don't worry, Neymar will play. So that's his press conference thoughts. Tommy, is it possible that the prima donna Neymar could be the one thing that could be the fly in the ointment for Brazil here? Because, I mean, do you even want him hanging around if he's injured and can't play in a strop because he's not part of the fun?
Of course you want him hanging around. But, you know, like we've seen with Kane, you do get knocks and bruises. These players are tough, and I was actually impressed with Neymar. He, you know, that negative impression he left after the last World Cup with him rolling around and complaining, I thought he came in with a different attitude. He looks like a more mature player. So I think no matter what happens, if he has to sit out the next game, he's there to win this World Cup for Brazil. That's at least my impression from looking from afar. I think, like Tite said, I think he'll get a bit of ice and a bit of care of attention, and then he'll be okay and ready to go for the next one.
Well, I just feel sorry for the physios of this team and the Brazilian team, because they were up and down like yo-yos. Because as soon as the players got touched or they got breathed on, they were going down. The gamesmanship of the Brazilians as well, you've got to credit it. The referee played right into their hands when they were being so theatrical, and it was really frustrating the Serbians. You could see that there was a lot of antics, basically saying get up, but you know, it is what it is. And like you say, I think he has matured, Tommy, and he looks like a man that wants to go out with the World Cup in his hands.
Very quickly, instant reaction: if we see a better goal than Richarlison's scissor kick, bicycle kick, call it what you like, in this tournament, who's gonna score it? Bridgie, give us a name.
It would have to be Roberto Carlos back in the day when, if somebody can produce that kind of goods again. With
the big... He was in the stands. He can't play.
He's not playing. Well, he can't score.
I know he's mate, but what I'm suggesting is a goal as good as that, like from that far out with that much bend on it, it's going to take something special. Who could do it? Let's have a think about this. I'm going to say, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to have to come from a Brazilian player, and I would say it could be Vinicius Jr., when he basically dribbles around six or seven players, cuts inside and puts one in the top corner. There you go. I'm not going to go with me three lions.
Okay, I'm just going to throw a surprise. No, just somebody that we would never guess. Now, we've seen it in the past. You know, Van Bronckhorst scored that fantastic goal for the Dutch down in South Africa. So there's got to be someone from a lesser-known team. I could see a Saudi Arabia player. I think, like, was that in the 94 World Cup where he ran, like, through
the full length of the pitch?
Yes. You know, so I think it's going to be an unknown player, somebody that we don't. I can't obviously pick the name, but I think there's going to be a surprise for goal of the tournament. So it's not going to be this one.
It might have been a player we saw today. I reckon Fede Valverde has scored some amazing goals in La Liga this season, and he got so close today. But before we jump into the other games of the day, let's flip it back over to Qatar and get a bit of a Socceroos update from Mark Schwarzer. We'll have a more comprehensive preview of the match against Tunisia on tomorrow's pod. But Schwarzer, bring us up to speed with the latest from Socceroos camp.
I think around the Socceroos, the general feeling is that if Aydin Rustic is fit, and fit enough, we know he's fit, but is he fit enough to start a game to get at least probably 65-70 minutes out of him, that he will start. I think it's not that it's last chance saloon, but it almost is. It can be if Australia don't get a result against Tunisia in a couple of days' time. And for me, he's our best player, and he needs to start, needs to play. And there's also a general feeling around the press, the media that are there every day, that if he's fit, he'll start. I think that's going to be the biggest decision Graham Arnold needs to make leading into the next match.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks to Mark Schwarzer there. You're listening to the Gegen Pod, the Optus Sport Football Podcast. We've got Thomas Sorensen and Michael Bridges with us in the pod today. Before we jump into the other games of the morning, I just wanted to throw some numbers and a bit of a burning question at you, because we're all up, staying up overnight, bleary-eyed, and unfortunately, 8 of the 16 games so far have been 0-0 at half-time, and we've had 4 nil-all draws. You compare that to the last World Cup, where we only had 1 nil-all draw. Thomas, what is the reason that the overall games, because we had Spain score 7, we had England score 6, the overall number of goals is kind of on average, but why have we had so many games that have been stalemates and have ultimately ended 0-0?
I think we need to see, you know, a bit more data on it going forward. But, you know, it has been a different World Cup with the preparation. I think, you know, Bridget talked about some of the teams that were coming in, throwing caution to the wind, attacking. But I think we've also seen teams that have been a lot more cautious. I thought, you know, we saw the game this morning with Uruguay and South Korea. I think Morocco as well, you know, were very cautious. The other day, the Denmark game, Tunisia, I thought Denmark was a little bit cautious as well. Nobody wants to lose the first game. You know, so, you know, it's difficult to answer, really. But I think that the short preparation time, it's easier to come into the tournament and focus and on a short turnaround on the date, on getting the defensive right and getting that sorted than actually getting a huge attacking plan in place. So that might be part of the reason, but I'm sure, you know, some of them have been entertaining games. I thought the Denmark Tunisia 0-0 was a tremendous game, end to end stuff. Just didn't get the goal.
Well, that Uruguay South Korea game today, I thought that was entertaining as well. That was kind of free flowing football at certain points of the game, end to end stuff. There was missed opportunities at both ends. And I agree with Tommy. It's all to do with that first game. You've got to try not to lose it, whether that's coming out with a draw. And like you say, you're going to get the odd results that throw a spanner in the works. But the next couple of games are the ones a few teams are going to have to go for it. They're going to have to throw caution to win. And when you leave yourself exposed and you don't take your chances, that's when you cop goals. So it's I'm really looking forward to the next round of matches, actually. This is when the tournament, the World Cup, just starts to get its groove on.
To put that number in context, 8 games, nil all at halftime. In the 2006 World Cup, the first 16 games, only 2 games were nil all at halftime. So you were always a good thing for an early goal back in the 2006 World Cup. Do you think we're going to see massive character changes, though? Bridgie, you flagged there that teams now, they've got backs to the wall, they have to go for it, they have to take risks. Do you think we can take it as read that this defence-first approach from a lot of teams is now going to be a thing of the past? Or do you think some teams, depending on the state of the group, they might say, hey, 2 draws from the first 2 games, we win our last game, 5 points gets us through?
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you've got a result out of it and you've believed in it and you've come out with something and you've got the belief, the buy-in from the players, you know, you back your coach to go and do that again. But when I'm looking at Costa Rica, that, you know, they're an aging team. They can't really go and press, and they got absolutely played off the park. So if you're going to park the bus with that kind of experience and you get cop seven goals, where do you get the belief from to go again? Like, you've already done that and you've gone for the defensive. They're the teams that are really going to struggle to go again. But like you say, with the teams, South Korea, I thought they're going to get chances to score. Uruguay are going to definitely get opportunities to score. And, you know, the teams from Africa, Cameroon, they just didn't take their chances. I think Ghana were the first African team to actually get on the score sheet. And it was the man that they all rave about, Ayew, who's the most capped man. I think Ghana, they showed respect to Portugal, but then when they went one behind, they actually got themselves back in the game because they changed their tactics. They brought in a few new players, and unfortunately, it was their doing. But they nearly got a result from it when they changed to a more pragmatic approach. So, I think when you've got the players that have got the legs and the energy levels to do that, you can. But Costa Rica, they're done and dusted because they haven't got the legs to change it. They're going to have to go defensive.
And Tommy, just quickly, of the teams to have drawn a blank in the first round of games in a nil-all, you know, Mexico, Poland, Croatia maybe, Uruguay, who should be most disappointed that they didn't take the game on just a little bit more?
I think, you know, Poland, obviously, missing that penalty is huge. I think, you know, they're one of the teams that, you know, a little bit defensive, I feel, at times. You know, they've got solid players and rely heavily on Lewandowski, and that result would probably hurt them the most. I'm pretty confident that Croatia is you know, they'll have enough to go through.
You know, and how are you going to get Denmark out of trouble?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's going to be it's going to be tough against France. Denmark have done well in the Nations League against them. So it's going to be another tight game. I would settle for a draw right here. Bridget, I would shake your hand and take it and run away and then put everything on that Socceroos game. But we know it's not going to be that easy. It's going to be tough. And yeah, it was a disappointment. Everyone is disappointed that we didn't win against Tunisia. But I think Tunisia surprised a lot of people. They were better than I thought, definitely.
Do you think the temperature, I know they've been saying at the stadiums and all that, that they've got the air conditioning. Do you think the temperature's played a bit of a thing towards it? Or am I just going off on a tangent there that doesn't exist?
I definitely think so. And also with the shorts, you know, the teams, I was there. I was in Abu Dhabi last week and it was 35 degrees and it was really hot. And some of these teams have traveled and only spent like 4, 5, 6 days there. Where normally you would spend 3 weeks to acclimatize. So and then, you know, Tunisia, you know, they had 80% of the crowd. So they were playing a home game and it will be the same against the Socceroos. So you have to account for that as well. You know, you could see that energy that they got from the crowd, you know, would probably be something that they wouldn't have had if the World Cup was in South America or in Russia or something.
Let's move on to the other games today. Very quickly on Uruguay, South Korea. Is there anything we haven't touched on that jumped out at you about this game?
Bless my daughter. She was like, I thought Son wasn't involved. And I was like, yeah, well, he's got the face mask on. He's looking good. They had their chances. I was really disappointed in Uruguay, actually. But I thought South Korea were very, very impressive. That did have a little laugh, by the way, because I've listened to the Italian commentary online, and he basically says the goalkeeper is Kim, the right back is Kim, the centre halves are Kim, and the left back is Kim. And I thought when he was, you know, he obviously didn't realise that they had longer names that you could actually pronounce. So that was one thing that tickled us online. But as a fact of the team, I was very, very impressed with Korea, the way they defended and the work rate. I can't wait until we get, you know what I'm like with my stats, Tommy, with the distance covered. They're going to be the stats that come out at the end of this to show you all the games and what the distance were covered in the teams. And I'm going to say South Korea are going to be up there at the top because they absolutely worked their socks off. So watch out for them. But the game wasn't as entertaining as I thought it would be, but good to see Cavani get on.
Yeah, no, again, I think, I hope to see more from Uruguay. You're looking at Valverde. I think he's been one of the players of the European season. I think he's been tremendous for Real Madrid in all aspects. Bentancur, I think, has done well at Tottenham. So, you know, yeah, sometimes you just feel that, can they just throw caution to the wind a little bit and get some more service to Suarez and Cavani, whoever's playing up front? So it'll be interesting to see these second round of games where teams and a team like Uruguay obviously have to get some goals. So nothing surprised me, and South Korea were what we expected, really hard working and well disciplined.
In the earlier game, you both mentioned that Cameroon didn't take their chances and they paid a price, a 1-0 loss to Switzerland, goal early in the second half for Brillem Bolo, scoring against the country of his birth, and he didn't celebrate as a result. Tommy, was Andre Onana man of the match? Because some of his saves for Cameroon were pretty fantastic, and we have seen some good goalkeeping displays in this tournament.
Yeah, no, I thought he was tremendous. He definitely kept them in the game. That save from the cutback was really good. And what I look for, you know, with goalkeepers is their balance. You know, he was never, you know, off balance. He was always in control and was waiting for the shot. And that's a keeper with confidence. You just gotta be disappointed from the Cameroon point of view that they didn't, you know, get something out of that first half, because I don't think Switzerland had a shot, and then they came to life early in the second half. So that was a bit the story for them. Chipomoteng, obviously, a lot of long balls for him to deal with and causing a lot of trouble. But yeah, just not getting that goal that could give them that lift.
And let's move on to Portugal's 3-2 win against Ghana. These are the sort of games we want to see rather than the nil-all draws. Cristiano Ronaldo became the first player to score in 5 men's World Cups. Bridgie, not bad for his stocks. He's always keen to be the centre of attention. Ronaldo, after the last few days, getting his mutual termination from Manchester United. Any thoughts on where he might be headed next? Because everyone, except maybe Newcastle and Eddie Howe, still wants a piece of him.
Yeah, well, just that I said it on the Gagan pod a few weeks back, before we were starting our World Cup. I said, watch this space for the MLS, because they're out of season, the league's finished, they're all looking for marquee players, the perfect timing, coming out the back of a World Cup. And, you know, I remember Ronaldo got offered them a huge deal in Saudi Arabia. I couldn't see him moving there with his family. I think America, like what David Beckham did, when you're going to LA, the glitz and glamour of New York or something like that, or Miami, that suits Ronaldo and his family down to the ground. He's in the limelight. He's getting the big dollars. He can play. So I think I'm going to say the MLS, because I don't think many Champions League teams would take him, but not can't knock what he did. You know, 5 World Cup scoring goals, that's just mind-blowing. And yet again, after all the crap that he's had going on, he gets back to performing on the field. He won the penalty. He stepped up. He had 3 long, deep breaths. He was feeling the pressure. He calmed himself down. And he slotted it away. And that was a great moment. That's a moment that I'll remember in the World Cup. Ronaldo scored at 5 World Cups. Incredible.
Tommy, I won't ask the striker, but that was never a penalty in a million years, was it?
I thought it was.
you see.
Yes, that's very harsh. Yeah, no, I think there was a touch. You know, he burst through, and I think there was just about enough. And this is where the game is, you know. So, yes, I don't think we can get around. It was a penalty. And big or small, it was there. And he finished it. And fair play to him. A great record. I think it's only Martha on the women's side has ever done it. And it deserves. You know, he's been a tremendous player for many years.
Teo, Ronaldo got a touch on the ball before the defender did. The defender touched his ankle. He went down.
Yeah.
The referee is not going to give it. And I thought it was quite funny how they didn't even go to VAR. He was just like, it's Ronaldo, let's get on with it.
And Ghana gave a pretty good account of themselves. They nearly got back in the game. And Yaki Williams only recently accepted the call to play for the country of his heritage. And he nearly stole the ball off Marilej da Costa right at the end of the game. But, Bridgie, it was pretty cheeky. And Ghana, are they necessarily out of the frame here to get out of this group? Because I guess what they really want is revenge on Uruguay. I'm not sure they would even care if they get out of the group as long as they can beat them in that final game.
I think that's the one that matters. What I saw from them today, they showed good resolve. The only thing that was upsetting today to witness, when they got themselves back into the game at 1-1, There was a big moment in the game came, and they decided to substitute and take off the guy that scored the goal, Ayew. And basically, he went over at the sideline, and the manager, Addo, and him had a bit of a heated debate, let's say. And as he was just having an argument with the manager, he'd gone to the bench, and he wasn't even facing the game, and the goal was scored. And obviously, they copped 2 quick goals in a matter of 2 minutes, 30 seconds. So that didn't go down well, the double substitution. There was arguments on the sideline, and obviously it didn't pay the squad. You've got to respect the manager's decision, but when the players are seeing, you know, the captain and the manager having an argument, and then you concede 2 goals. But thankfully, they got the players that were on the park. They had a go, and like you say, they almost got another result out of it. So I think the resolve that they've shown in that game was absolutely fantastic, because, you know, they were 3-1 down. They almost got themselves back. But the stuff that went on off the field at the sidelines, going to be interesting to see how they handle that. And will he play EU in the next game, who's his captain and the most capped man in his country? Because you can't undermine your coach like that. So it's going to be interesting. But yes, they can do a job on Uruguay.
All right, let's get into quick picks for the games coming up. If you are listening on Friday, it's a 9 p.m. kickoff for Wales against Iran. Bridgie and Thomas, in a word, who you got?
Wales.
I am hoping for Wales.
Midnight, Qatar-Senegal. Do the hosts bounce back? Does Senegal get their first goal of the tournament?
Senegal get their first goal, they get their second goal, they get their third goal, and they might even get a fourth goal, because what I saw from Qatar was absolutely terrible. So there you go. They look so outclassed, out of their depth, and I think Senegal will take them to the cleaners.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for a reaction from Qatar. I thought the moment was too big in the first game. Will they change the keeper? I thought Saeed was, he was a very weak point for them in the first game. Would Basham come in? So I'm looking for a reaction, but I agree with Bridgie. I think Senegal showed a lot of character and with a bit of luck could have snatched something from the Dutch. And they, I think they're again going to be too strong for Qatar.
Holland-Ecuador is the third game. Anyone taking Ecuador or a draw?
This is going to be a classic.
Ecuador haven't conceded. They haven't conceded in, is it, 10 games. So yeah. It's going to be a tight one. But then again, Netherlands or Holland, I think they have enough to again squeeze another win out of it.
I don't know. I'm sniffing another nil all draw.
I'm going against you. I'm going against you here. I'm going to say Ecuador will get a 1-0 victory here.
Ooh, well, that certainly would make the group pretty delicate. And then the 6 a.m. Australian Eastern kickoff, the big one, football versus soccer. Bridgie, are your boys going to keep the roll going?
Yes, they are. They definitely are. It's going to be an interesting game, no doubt about it. USA are full of energy. They're running Tyler Adams in there, and Aronson. I watch them on a regular basis with Leeds United. They're like what would I call them? Little Jack Russells. Them little horrible dogs that just run around snapping and barking and biting people's ankles. That's exactly what these boys do. They never stop. It's going to be a very, very interesting midfield battle with Tyler Adams and going up against Bellingham and Rice. But I'm going to say that England will get the job done in this one. It's not going to be the result that we saw last time. I think it's going to be very, very tight. So I'm going with a 1-0 or a 2-1 victory to England.
And Tommy, the final say with your prediction.
Yeah, no, again, the worrying sign for the US for me was, how different the two halves were. I know Wales changed the tactics a little bit, but I thought they ran out of legs late on. And I think this is where the England bench can come into play, like we saw against Iran, the players they can put on. I think that's going to be the difference in this one. So I see some late goals for England. So I got them 3-0.
Do you know what the big talk is over here? That everybody's hoping Harry Kane is fit because America handled, obviously, the first half. When they brought on the big unit, Kiefer Moore, they didn't know how to handle Kiefer Moore with the runners. So what Harry Kane is doing, when he drops into that position and you get the other runners from wide and midfield, that's where the USA look very, very vulnerable. So if they haven't learned their lesson from that and Harry Kane is not going to be rested for this one, that's why I can see it going in England's favour. If Harry doesn't play, it's going to be a different dynamics, I think.
So there you have it, the predictions of Michael Bridges and Thomas Sorensen, and a big thanks to them. Don't forget the Gegenpod is daily during the World Cup, so make sure you hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and rate us 5 stars while you're there. Don't forget the WSL continues live and exclusive on Optus Sport. Amy Duggan will be in the host chair tomorrow. I've been Teo Pelizzeri for this one. Thanks for listening to the Optus Sport Football Podcast. This was the Gegenpod.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.